B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
I'm sick of the NHL. This season has gone to hell. We all want to scream and yell because there are no games. Why can't they just get it done? Hockey games are so much fun. We suffer in the long run because there are no games. We're sick of waiting. Pissed off, we are hating. The pain it's creating. What the hell are these guys thinking? Hey, I love hockey, and this is crazy. But end this lockout, play hockey maybe. It's hard to live with, out you hockey. But end this lockout, play hockey maybe. Hey, I love hockey, and this is crazy. But end this lockout, play hockey maybe. And all the Bruins fans are very angry. So end this lockout, play hockey maybe.
Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 6:04 in the Town Fair Tire Studios, and we are your official Bruins pregame show. I'm so happy.
I am so happy. But you, Rich, you're talking a really, really happy man this morning. Happy that I get to finish the program, go home and watch a playoff game. That's one. And two, really happy that I could turn around and actually enjoy an epic five overtime playoff game, which happened before the Bruins are supposed to play. You're watching the game, and all I was thinking about was, will someone score, please, so I'm not up until 2 in the morning watching the Bruins.
Yeah, it
and
was kind of...
Once the game was called off, I'm like, this is awesome. It's a playoff game that's in a fifth overtime. Everything changed. It was great.
You're right. I mean, the minute they ended up moving the game to today, you're just sitting there rooting for chaos. You're like, I want this to go 9 overtimes.
Yes.
I just want this to just continue, see how long this can go. But, I mean, all I'm saying is that all the other shows make out so much better than us. Like, all these games that are on during Felger and Maz, like, they're taking half of this, like, the half of next month off. And now you've got even Zolak and Bertrand. They just be able to sit back. I mean, I think they're going to show up at 10 and then talk for 30 minutes and then hand it over to Surratt and Beers, I believe, and then they're done. Timing wise, you know, with the post game and everything too, I don't think they would get back on the air. And then, you know, everyone's lucking out. That's why I was kind of hoping that they would have started super late. We would have gotten a 5 overtime game, and maybe it would have bled into the beginning of our show. But everyone's lucking out. Here's one thing I do know for certain, though, is that no matter, even though the Bruins didn't play late into the night, Joe Murray apparently had himself a late night, because what the hell was that headlines we just heard? We had Quiet Storm Joe going on there. You are Mr. Smooth R&B night DJ. You were... My man needs a coffee.
I have a coffee. I'm ready to go. And I unfortunately watched the Red Sox game.
Why do you do that to yourself?
Here we go.
I had not even
waiting till the second segment today. We're just going to go right at it now.
No.
All right.
And if there's time today, just let me get it all out.
I will. Listen. Hey, I like that you're passionate about this team. I don't understand why you're passionate about it, but
it's
I like
not
that
about
you
the
are.
Team. It's not a. It's that.
It's one guy, right?
There's an article that was posted yesterday.
Yeah.
That said not to blame Ron Renicky, and we've discussed this.
We have.
But the team last night was insulting to watch. It was insulting. I mean, Rich, you could. You coached, right? Didn't you say you coached before your kids?
Yeah, sure. Like I was the big manager on the baseball team. Yes, I was quite the manager.
You could make better decisions than what
listen,
happened.
I'm not doubting that. I've always thought that a manager of a baseball team is one of the most overrated positions in any sport. But I mean, with Ron Renneke, just look what he's dealing with. And I know that
I'm
we're
out on
talk,
that take.
Know, okay, we'll
I'm
talk. About, we'll talk day. About it later. We'll talk about it later. But I just want to know. I mean, you came out. You were Mr. Smooth, like smooth, sweet R&B this morning. Like, I mean, you were. I mean, listen, if there were women listening, they were sitting on towels. like I mean, you were. I mean, it was like Barry, it was our own Barry White we had on here. You just laid back this morning. Now, did you stay up after the game? Did you go to sleep last night?
I did. I went to bed at about 11:30. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I was like Jodeci in the morning.
That's right. Yeah. Big Jodeci. So, okay. I did have a question to ask you about yesterday. And I know I've talked about this every day, but I'm fascinated. So, you know, a day does not go by where on my Twitter timeline, someone doesn't tweet something from the Kowloon. And like yesterday, it was Lifshatz time. And Lifshatz is out there. Ain't nothing better than the Kowloon. Now, the one thing I do want to know is that were they wanting to show the Bruins game up on the big screen last night?
Yeah. So they, okay. Yeah, they showed Ocean's 11, and then after they were going to put on the Bruins game.
Okay, that's why part of me was rooting that the Bruins game was going to start at like 11:30. Because how freaking funny would it have been if the Kowloon had to stay open till 3 in the morning for all the people who were there watching the Bruins game?
I think they would have kicked everyone out, though.
They're just saying, get the hell out of here. You can watch this at home. You can listen to it on the way back.
Yeah. I mean, selfishly, right, we're all happy there was no game last night. Selfishly, like, I think the NHL kind of screwed it up. I think they didn't have a backup plan.
They couldn't do any better than they're doing. I mean, that's the one thing is that, you know, out of all of this, you know, and I heard a bunch of talk about it last night is, you know, why did nobody think about this? Man, in this time where you got to play in this bubble, that's the best you can do. And it's not even that
rich. The NHL had a game at 3 and a game at 8.
Yeah, that's
how in God's name could they have planned for that?
I know.
They have a 5-hour window for that game to finish. Yeah. How often do you have a 5 overtime game? Now, look, you can blame the NHL for a lot of things in the past. First off, there have been no positive tests in the bubble. Everyone is clean. Second of all, the games have been good to watch.
Yeah,
and
great.
Third of all, they had these two playoff games spaced far enough apart so that you could go to a couple of overtimes and it wouldn't affect the second game. I don't know what else you wanted the NHL to do. The NHL also realized that a game that starts at 10:30 would not be watched. So what they did was they said, we'd rather have it on during the day when more people are awake instead of starting at 10:30 or 10:45 and have the game. Well, and if, God forbid, that game goes into overtime, the game wouldn't end until 3 in the morning.
Well, I disagree with that. There was another game last night.
On the West Coast.
It was West Coast.
It was a West Coast game.
So what?
Right.
You would lose the two viewers of the two teams that were actually playing.
You're saying it's about viewership.
Isn't it always?
Well, it's viewership, and it's having there was an uncertainty of how long that game was going to go, and I think that they called it at the right time. If you would have called it any earlier, you could have said, all right, well, yeah. You know, maybe they could have dropped the puck at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock almost seems like it would have been acceptable, but when they called it, like the earliest that they would have been able to play is right around 11 o'clock, like just before 11, and that's unfair. It's unfair to the Bruins, and it's unfair. It was unfair to all the people watching. Now, it sucks. There's going to be people at work and they're going to have their TVs and radios on trying to listen to it. And one guy said it best. He goes, now I'm drunk and I got to talk to my wife tonight. You know, you're ready. You wanted to watch this game, but at least we got to see something epic instead. Like that game, like that was, and it was sloppy hockey, but I mean, you don't see that often, and it was fun to watch, and you're rooting for Tortorella to lose because you know he's going to be ornery, and it was – at least you got to watch something somewhat entertaining instead of the Bruins. And then you get, you know, hockey today at 11 o'clock. As I said, if you're going to work, that part of it sucks. But it was just – it was the right thing to do, and you can't yell at the NHL for that. Crap happens sometimes. And by the way, the ice would have sucked. I mean, I don't know how you can – and I know that they have the hour and a half that it takes to get the ice all ready like that. But, man, can you imagine having to play on that after you've already had those two games and one of them being 6.5 hours long? There's no way that can be quality ice after that. So I just think it was for everyone's benefit. And, listen, for some people it sucks. You're not going to be able to watch it as much. But you're going to be able to hear it. So we're going to have it here. And it's, you know, there you go. And you got back-to-back games now. And, you know, the goalie situation is going to be interesting. I know that we'll get into it, but Cassidy talked about the potential of, you know, there being Rask one day and Halak the next, which I know nobody really wants to hear right now. But, you know, that's the best you can do. And I can't blame the NHL for how they handled things last night. And to be honest, it was somewhat entertaining. So I didn't quite mind the way that it turned out.
Ultimately, if you're going to do it, I mean, you would split the goaltenders in the first two games and not games 5 and 6.
See, that's what drives me nuts.
You got another back-to-back next week.
That drives me nuts.
Games five and six.
That's if they get there, John. If they even get to game 6 and 7.
Are you saying they're going to lose the series quick?
I'm just saying the fact that this game got pushed back, Tuukka Rask can't play back-to-back days. Can't play back-to-back days.
Statistically speaking, I think, and Ty Anderson had the number last night, I think he's 3-12-1
on
no day's rest.
Yeah,
no day's rest. I mean, that's significant.
Oh,
Halak's still better than Mrazek, so I got no problem with that.
All I'm saying is that
that's another good point.
The move last night really changed things up, and I don't know. I'm sure these guys went home last night, went right back to their hotel room, and what? Going to wake up at 8:30 this morning and just play a hockey game?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Both teams, not just the Bruins, both teams have to do it.
Yep. So, I mean, as I said, it was a weird situation. They handled it the best they could. I've got no problem with how it went. It sucks for the people who wanted to watch it last night. But, hey, you're still going to get hockey. And, I mean, I don't know how you could have done it any differently than they did. And what, did you want them to drop the puck at midnight last night?
No, I thought 10:30 would have been fine. It would have been 90 minutes.
It would have been 11. It would have been 11 o'clock.
Okay, why not?
Because no one from either team, no fan from either team would have watched it.
They would have.
I disagree.
Oh my God, people would have watched.
I disagree. If you have to wake up early in the morning and go to work, your puck drop at 11 o'clock, no one is going
to
watch that.
I'm interested to know how 11 a.m. hockey is today.
Okay.
I'm interested to know.
It'll be good. It'll be quality game.
We'll watch because we're out of work and we can watch it.
Yep.
But, like, what about people who have to work? And
yeah, that sucks. That sucks.
The ratings won't be good is what I'm telling you. It would have been better last night than today.
Well, of course. What are you saying? That prime time would have higher ratings than 11 a.m.? Well, of course.
I'm telling you that if it's about the viewership, they made a bad decision.
It's. I don't think it was as much
about
that.
See, I do. I do. I think it was about it. Because the players were sitting there waiting. They could have. I mean, the players were literally sitting next to the arena or in the arena waiting to play, and they sent them home.
And I can't stand the ice talk. Oh, it would have been a bad ice. Would have been a bad ice. Like, everyone's playing on it.
The ice is going to be better having an entire night to be able to freeze over than having it. Dude, that's a 6.5 hour game. And I don't care what you say. You're going to need more time for that ice to be fine. I mean, it's already a lot to ask having as many games as they are on that ice. So, I mean, it's just a little extra thing that made the decision worth making. All right, we'll get into all of that. Also, the Celtics, they just look awesome. I mean, they're ready for the playoffs. We'll get into that right after this.
Recapping what you missed, it's Touchner and Rich.
The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And, well, if you were looking to watch the Bruins last night, you saw this instead. Clip.
Center point. Keeps it in for Kucherov. Right circle shot blocked. Rebound Sergachev. Right circle. Kucherov shoots. Blocked. Point high slot.
Shoot. Score! 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 Brayden Point! Brayden Point! Brayden Point! The Lightning win it! They win into the fifth overtime! 3-2! And they lead the series 1-0.
That's all he did was turn and fired it from outside the circle. And it caught the net. I mean, that's all he did. You got to feel bad for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They really hung in there and played hard.
That woke up Esposito. The greatest thing is that even Mishkin sounds tired there. Like Captain Spaz, he was like, and then you just hear that Esposito, like right in the middle of it. He just makes this little moan like, what happened? And then he sees the replay. I mean, they're one of my favorite broadcasting duos in sports. I mean, you got a spaz and a guy who barely pays attention. But finally, 10.5 minutes into the eighth period of the night, and Tampa Bay's Braden Point, or as Dave Mitchum calls it, Bama, finally buries one into the Blue Jackets net. And the fourth longest game in Cup history was over. 6 hours and 13 minutes. It still seems shorter than most Red Sox games. But just before the fifth overtime started, the NHL announced that the Bruins game would be moved to 11 a.m. this morning. Hey, Bruce Cassidy, what were the guys up to while they were waiting? Clip.
I had a piece of pizza. I'm not going to lie to you. It was delicious. It was about, 9 o'clock. I think I was getting hungry as the rest of the coaches, but I don't think the players are eating that. So, but anyway, that's what we did. We just waited it out.
Yep, just waited it out, just hung out, and apparently they were all talking to each other and just saying, why won't they score? They were kind of getting pissed and antsy after a while. Well, the NHL, by the way, if they did not postpone the game, the puck drop would have been right around 11 p.m. So if you do the math, it'd be at 10:50. Now, this is because there was this established protocol that the league set up where it takes at least 90 minutes after the conclusion of the prior game for the next game to be able to start. That allows time for the place to sanitize each bench, which apparently takes almost a half hour alone. It also allows time for the ice to hopefully return to something close to normal after a 6.5 hour hockey game, and for both teams to be able to skate in their pregame warm-ups. But according to Bruce Cassidy, this postponement is fine with him. Clip.
Well, the first is the ice conditions, which after, seven periods of hockey or whatever it is, 7.5, I don't care how good you are at maintaining ice, there's going to be some deterioration. And then a little bit of the fatigue, like you're waiting around. What if our game goes into overtime? Now all of a sudden players are playing at, could be 1 o'clock in the morning, Fluto. Is that right? I mean, is that appropriate for maybe just a one overtime game, especially if you've been at the rink since 5 o'clock? So I think there's a little bit of that. I guess the flip side is, it's unique all around this year. So, play a game at 11 o'clock. I just think they made the right call personally for the player safety. We'll get the game in tomorrow. We'll have to deal with the back-to-back situation. So there's always a little adversity somewhere. But, we're just, like I said, ready to go tomorrow. And I think, honestly, Fluto, the players can best answer that question about, what their concerns would be.
Yeah, his math is wrong. Because even if it wasn't, there was no overtime, the game would have been over at 1:30 or so.
Yeah, regulation, so you're sitting there, right.
Yeah, regulation. Yeah. So, I mean, overtime, you're going into the 2 o'clock hour. First of all, a couple things. I was thinking about this last night. Imagine getting yourself mentally prepared for the first Stanley Cup playoff game of the season. I mean, getting all hyped, focused, amped, only to wait around for 5 hours and be told to go home and go to sleep. Like, is it easy for you to go to sleep after that? Or you just, how do you do that? We saw them play. But, yeah, the one call that you saw was something that couldn't be questioned. It was out of play, so you had to call that, and there had to be a penalty. But, man, it just doesn't seem fair, Like, they've played so much more hockey than any other team right now. Almost three full games in one day.
And they have to go back and play tomorrow. I mean, that's what the playoffs are about. I mean, it's equal for both teams. You keep playing. You play until someone scores. And last
night, but it's equal for both teams if you go 3-on-3 after 3 overtimes.
But that's Rich, it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick they invented to avoid going to a shootout, which no one likes. That's during the regular season.
Yeah, no shootouts. Nobody wants a shootout. I do not want a shootout to determine the regular season and the game. Who cares?
It was a means to an end in the regular season, the 3-on-3. And playoff hockey is different. You don't solve playoff hockeys by gimmicks. And I think if the World Cup and, soccer, you win that with a shootout and sudden death, and that's how you win a World Cup or a gold medal in soccer in the Olympics. I think that's ridiculous, too. You play until somebody wins. That's what the playoffs are about. They're not about gimmicks. They're about which team is better. And if you're 3-on-3 and you happen to have a faster team, regardless of how tired you are, if you have slightly better skilled players, you're going to win. I mean, Columbus is not a fast team, if I'm reading this right. They're more of a grinded-out team. That's how they win games. Tampa is a much faster team. I would think if you went 3-on-3, that would give Tampa an unfair advantage.
It was funny. Mike Milbury yesterday tweeted, he's in Toronto, and he took a picture of the big, Toronto Tower there. And he put, on another worldly night, Space Needle is an appropriate backdrop. Insane Columbus Tampa Bay game. God bless both teams for a great effort, even though I think we should end these games sooner via 3-3 or shootout after a time. What do you think? And the Seattle Kraken retweeted that and said, anybody want to tell them that's not the Space Needle?
I know.
It's like, hey, whatever the hell it is. It looks kind of like the Space Needle. But I don't know. And John, you're probably right, because when it comes to the playoffs, you do want to keep things as pure as possible. But I mean,
that was an unusual circumstance last night.
But it happens.
Night.
But it does happen.
It happens once in a while. It doesn't happen every other game. It just happens once in a while.
The physical toll on your body. What was that movie? Was it a boxing movie where the two guys barely could stand up and they're still trying to hit each other?
Well, which boxing? I mean, that's every Rocky movie you've ever watched.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't even a Rocky movie. It was just what the hell? There was like an action where there was a fight where the people just could barely stand up and they're just like tapping each other in the face. That's kind of like what it was after a while. And to be honest, it was admirable that none of them really had many major screw ups. Like, you're waiting for that one fast break where it's a bad pass and you thought something was going to happen, but you know, they were playing like sloppy but without a ton of mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, it was like slow and it was kind of sluggish there near the end. But I mean, you're waiting for that one complete and total choke job. It's just like, you know, like the amount of mental energy that it takes to play a 5-overtime game, and you thought it was going to happen and it didn't. And at least it ended on a good hockey play. Like, at least it ended on like a great shot, you know, from a star. That was something that was worth seeing. And both those goalies, man. I mean, what did the Columbus guy have? 80 something saves,
new record.
85 saves. I mean, that was
solo, new record.
Dude, that's just utterly absurd. So, I mean, what are you going to do? But I saw that last night, and I think you're right, John. You have to keep it pure in the playoffs. But there's just part of you that just, you know, you think about these guys, like just the amount of hockey they've already played, when it should have been just one game and they've almost played three, is insane. But at least you're right. It wasn't on the night of a back-to-back. Like, at least, you know, they've got today off, which, you know, there was, because of the way this schedule is so condensed, there are going to be back-to-backs. Well, now the Bruins play a back-to-back today and tomorrow, so let's hope they don't go to anything like a 5-overtime game. All right, let's talk about the Celtics. They look fantastic. They look great going into the playoffs. I don't think you could feel any better about this team and where they're at. We will get to that right after Joe Murray. Headlines. A Sports Hub. Well, you're sitting around waiting for the Bruins to start playing in just a few hours. The Boston Celtics absolutely look ready for the playoffs. Clip.
113-99, 14-point Boston lead, 4 minutes to go. Kemba, nasty, cardiac Kemba, step back at the top of the circle, drills it, and the Grizzlies just not going to get enough stops today to get this done.
He's back.
19 for Kemba Walker, Celtics by 16 with 3:42 to go.
There aren't many cylinders the Celtics aren't firing on right now. Jason Tatum looks like the guy we knew in February. Kemba Walker, healthy. Jaylen Brown, despite having a quiet night last night, he's been reliable. Gordon Hayward playing some of the best basketball of his career. The bench, led by Enes Kanter and Robert Williams, it's really better than we thought it would be. And after last night's win against Memphis, the Celtics have only one more meaningless game to go against a Wizards team that just couldn't get on the bus home any faster. And then it looks more than likely you're going to get a first-round matchup against a beaten, battered, and bruised 76ers team that would be minus Ben Simmons and with a potentially hobbled Joel Embiid. And you saw Kemba last night, man. He looks really good, and he feels the team is ready to go. Clip. Oh, we don't have the clip ready to go. All right. Well, listen, Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum both kind of echoed the same sentiments yesterday, saying that they feel confident, they feel ready. And you know what? After watching what they've been doing, this is the first time this year where I have no problem saying, yep, they absolutely have a shot to beat any team in the East. If they play up to their potential, Giannis or not, they are going to be an absolute handful, and no team is going to want to go up against these guys. They're going to be a tough out no matter what. There's just too many ways this team can beat you. How are you feeling going into this, Mr. John Wallach?
I watched last night, and the first half –
Again, Memphis had everything to play for last night. They're barely hanging on to their playoff lives over in the West. They may not make the play-in game, the 8-9 game, the way it is right now. I mean, right now they're ninth, but they're tied with Phoenix and San Antonio for that ninth spot.
Yeah.
And they were eighth by, what, four or five games when this thing started? They are playing for their playoff lives, and the Celtics came out and throttled them. Crushed them.
Yeah,
Memphis couldn't get anything done on offense. The Celtics suffocated them in the first quarter and a half of that game. I mean, to see the Celtics are locked into the three seed. They had nothing, literally nothing to play for last night, and they went and crushed a team that had everything to play for last night. That could have been a 25 or 30 point win. Watching that game, we definitely have something here. I mean, this is a team, and that's all you can hope for. The Celtics are going to be fun to watch in the playoffs because they're not favored. You're not expecting them to go to the NBA Finals, but they're going to be a pain in the ass to beat, like you said, because they have four guys that can score. You do see Robert Williams perform well off the bench. Again, Robert Williams, two or three dunks, two or three shots outside of dunking range, which he missed.
He missed.
But he actually rebounded yesterday, something he doesn't do a lot of anyway, blocked a shot. They are getting contributions off the bench. Everyone who's supposed to be contributing on offense is. I don't want to play this team in the playoffs.
Yesterday, Tatum, in the first 15 minutes of the game, had 17 points.
Yeah.
They went on a 33-11 run in the first quarter. They held the Grizzlies to 33% shooting in the game, and they locked them down from three-point range, which is where we saw them struggle against the Heat. So right now, Rich, Kemba Walker's the story. He looks great. Jaylen Brown, this is the one game they didn't need him yesterday. He didn't play well, but it wasn't a Jaylen bad
matter.
Game or anything. It was just
because they had other options. It didn't matter.
They didn't need him.
Yep.
But I'll tell you, I think they're doing like a bubble all-star team. I don't think he'll make it because Devin Booker and what Damian Lillard's doing right now. But I think Jaylen Brown's been one of the might be the best Celtic. He might be their best.
Up until last night, he was the most consistent.
I'll tell you what, though. Tatum's fadeaway jumper has become so smooth.
It's
just in the second half of this season. Like, I mean, I used to scream when he would do that because the mid-range jumpers, fadeaway jumper. He's doing it from, like, three now. I mean, he is... Like, he's mastered the shot. And it's one of those things where you're watching it, and when you used to scream, no, you're now like, yes. He's matured so much just since, like, January. And I love being able to see that. And if it wasn't for that first game right out of the box, that stinker, you know, you'd look at him and go, all right, well, this guy's about as automatic as it comes. And and that's why this team is so impressive, is because you know you're going to get a game or two like that from each one of these guys. But as you just said, John, you're going to get scoring from three other guys when that happens. And the fact that Kemba Walker is playing great basketball right now, I mean, that's dangerous. This team is dangerous. And on top of that, the bench has been better than advertised. And it's Cantor. I mean, rebounding machine. And just what you're getting out of Robert Williams, anything out of Robert Williams would have been nice. Yeah. And I like the fact that they've got faith in him and they've been putting him out there just to see, you know, get him a little bit of confidence before the playoffs start.
He's earned his minutes. And once again, you didn't see Romeo Langford until garbage time. I think Brad Stevens has made up his mind. If he goes eight or nine deep, Robert Williams will get the 5 or 10 minutes that Enes Kanter and Daniel Tice don't. And let's put this in a greater perspective. The Celtics were 49-33 last year. They lost Kyrie Irving and they lost Al Horford, two key components to that team. They replaced and Kemba Walker came back, but they didn't really add a big guy. And you know what? They have 48 wins. They win tomorrow. It's 49 wins again in 10 fewer games.
And you know what, too, is that I'll give CelticsLife.com credit. They did something that was really nerdy, but it's great. You know, when Al Horford left, everyone was kind of freaking out. You know, how are they going to be able to replace this? What, you're not going to – Daniel Tice can't be the guy. They compared Daniel Tice's numbers to Al Horford's. And they're shockingly similar. Like, he's been doing a pretty damn good job holding it down since Al Horford left. As a matter of fact, I mean, and the difference in salary is like $23 million. So, I mean, you know, what Daniel Tice is doing for $5 million, which, of course, was made it, you know, the team able to go get a guy like Kemba Walker, instead of the $28 million that they would have had to pay, or 30, whatever Horford was going to be demanding from the Celtics. I mean, he has been... another surprise this season. And I'm just, as I said, and listen, I'm somebody who obviously loves this team. I'm a big fan of the Celtics, and I want them to win. But I didn't have really many expectations. My expectations are going up a little bit. Because as I said, like I used to, I went into this postseason saying, well, there's no way they can beat the Bucks. I don't think that's true anymore. Ooh. I still think I would favor the Bucks, but the Celtics got a shot, man.
Well,
they got
I'll tell you
shot.
This much, Rich. Last night, we've seen them knock off Toronto now, okay? And what happened with Giannis last night, I think we might you know they want to get in the head of that guy going forward.
Let's get to that. All right, so speaking of the Giannis, here's what happened last night. Where do you have it, Dan? He might be facing a suspension for this.
Giannis and Mo having some words.
Boy, Mo can get under your skin within seconds.
But if you're the Bucks and you're Giannis, you cannot risk anything. I mean,
is that a headbutt? Wait a second.
Oh,
you know what?
No.
They're going to toss him.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not good.
If it was a flagrant two, he is ejected.
It was clearly a headbutt that occurred. And it really started.
Hang on a second. Yep, he is ejected from the game.
Be ejected. You can't do that.
Yeah, that right there was a headbutt, and if we know anything, that does get you suspended in the NBA. Now, Mo Wagner did sell it a little bit, and to be honest, it is absurd that something like that will get you suspended. An ejection, sure, but it wasn't like he made the guy bleed or anything, but hey, maybe the Bucks are glad that they have one more regular season game before the playoffs, because maybe Giannis will sit out a game that he may not have even played anyway. But they look disjointed. They're going to be fine once the playoffs start. I know this. I'm not playing what have you done for me lately and looking at the two teams and saying, hey, the Celtics are... But what I am saying is I now have confidence. Seeing them come back and play as strong as they have, I now know that at least they're formidable against the Bucks, whereas the Bucks were a steamroller during the regular season. I'm now seeing a situation where if you can just let Giannis get his... The Celtics, I think, have a chance. You know what I mean? Like, if they can just... And Giannis is... Dude, you know what I think about him. I think he's the best player in the NBA. But, am I crazy thinking that... Like, it's given me a little more confidence that this team has the potential to beat anyone.
The Celtics have a puncher's chance, which is not something you thought they would have against Toronto or Milwaukee before this whole restart thing happened in Orlando. But, again... Milwaukee was a threat to win 70 games before the season stopped. Mm-hmm. The thing that's different this year as opposed to last year with Giannis is that they've surrounded him with shooters. I mean, now they have about five or six other guys that can sit on the perimeter and wait. And a guy they didn't have last year, DiVincenzo, has performed very, very well. Don't forget, Celtics didn't face Eric Bledsoe when they faced Milwaukee earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, Milwaukee is not a good team, a great team. When they're playing well. Now, can the Celtics will absolutely show better against Milwaukee than they did last year, but to think that they actually can go and to walk into a series against Milwaukee and assume that they can probably beat them, I think that's a reach.
But listen, you know what? Hang on, real quick, Joe. Yeah. You know what that battle is? Those two teams together. It's you know when people ask, would you rather fight a duck-sized horse or a hundred
horse-sized duck?
Yeah. So the Bucks have the horse-sized duck in Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Celtics are a bunch of duck-sized horses
that are
just like attacking, like it's like. And I think that they're going to win. Like, I think that if you take a look at the two of them, you got Giannis who's like this monster. Yeah. And you just got to let him get his. No. But it's like,
you have an all-star in Chris Middleton, too, who happens to hit a lot of key shots against the Celtics. And don't discount Bledsoe, who's not the immature a-hole that you remember.
Bledsoe.
He's
Middleton,
very good.
Middleton gets completely disrespected. I agree with you on
How
that.
How many big shots does he hit against the Celtics?
I know. He kills the Celtics. And he's got weird eyes. But then you've got, like, of course, from all these different angles, the Celtics are just attacking at your heels. Okay. I'm telling you, it's going to be
so
like,
hold on.
A shot. The duck-sized horses can win this.
What does the battle sound like again?
It's like... Okay.
I just wanted to make sure I had that right.
And listen, Giannis has been restrained against Brooklyn on a player named Dante Hall.
Yes.
He punched Tice in the groin, all right? Yep. And then last night, he headbutted Mo Wagner. Get in that guy's head.
Yeah,
I want Marcus Smart in that guy's head all day long. Well, maybe somebody else can trash talk him. That's how you got to get to him.
All right, we got a break. All right, we'll be right back. And we have an update on Tommy Heinsohn as well. We'll get to that right after this. 5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And Mike Gorman will join us at 8:20, and he will weigh in on the Giannis Antetokounmpo comparison to a horse-sized duck compared to the Celtics.
I did nothing but think about that during the break, and the more I think about it, Rich, I think you nailed it. That's exactly right. I think that the Celtics are a bunch of duck-sized horses. I completely agree, and Giannis is a horse-sized duck that's surrounded with a bunch of really good shooters like Robin Lopez, Brooke Lopez, and Chris Middleton, and Eric Bledsoe, and Dante DiVincenzo, and Kyle Korver. That's the difference.
It's kind of A-plus analysis you get from the Toucher and Rich show, but we'll have Mike Gorman on at 8:20, and he's going to be on with us hopefully throughout the playoffs. But he tweeted something yesterday and actually mentioned something on the broadcast that I thought was pretty good news. So we've been obviously talking to him about Tommy Heinsohn, and you know, you want to respect Tommy's privacy, but you know, he's been going through some health issues that's been, you know, it's been public. And yesterday on the broadcast, he said that he visited him for about 45 minutes. And of course, Mike said that, you know, Tommy was in rare form. He said that when he walked in, one of the first things that he mentioned was he thinks that the officials should be left in the bubble for months at a time before they let him out again. So, I mean, immediately he's complaining about the officials before he even talks about his health. And then Gorman tweeted that, you know, he is wrestling with some physical issues, but obviously he, you know, loves hearing from people. And Mike Gorman even said that if you want to leave Tommy a message, you can tweet Mike Gorman. He replied to one of his tweets. It's like at Celtics Voice, and leave him a message. And he said that he's going to relay him to Tommy, but we'll have him on to obviously talk about that as well. But it would be, you know, it would obviously be good to have him back. It would be weird hearing him yell from a studio at referees, because we all know that part of his gig is yelling loud enough so the actual refs will hear it while they're on the court. So I wonder if he can understand that they might not hear him while he's in a remote studio.
The best would be, remember, Gorman would tell us about how he's sitting next to Tommy. Tommy would box him out during some plays. Can't do that if you're socially distanced, Tommy. You're on the other side of the room. That's the problem.
You can't do that, but that would be good to have him back, and it's going to be nice to have him. You know who else we're going to have on at 9? About like 30 minutes before he's got to go on TV is Billy Jaffe.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, because he's going to be on at 9 o'clock with us, and you know, they've got, I think Nesson's going to be doing pregame right around 10 o'clock, I think. So, I mean, they're going to be firing that up pretty early. I mean, everything had to, all the schedules had to get moved around and all of that. I understand. Okay, one thing real quick about Jaffe, and then we'll do Joe Murray's headlines. You noticed how when they first started doing the pre- and post-game stuff, like the first exhibition game, Billy Jaffe was so damn far away from everyone. Well, they fixed that problem, but now it looks like they're trapped in this weird green screen hell. Like, there's like this fake background behind him, and like him and Raycroft have this like white outline around their bodies that it looks like a Star Trek, like a really cheesy, horribly produced Star Trek show. Like, they haven't mastered the art of the green screen background. Remember those things, Presto Magics, you had when you were a kid where you would like rub your pen on like a background? That's what they look like. It's like Nesson Presto Magics. Yeah. You know, you have a Dale Arnold over here in the front and tiny Billy Jaffe in the back. It's kind of distracting, to be honest.
The whole thing is weird.
The whole thing has been weird.
Dale's without his box to stand on. It's just all weird. It's not, you know, nothing looks normal in there.
I love when Wallet gets in a Dale shot because you know it's sincere. Because I come from a place of just busting balls. Wallet comes from a place of pure hatred.
Boy, look at the time. Time for an update.
Did he hurt you? It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Not you, Rich. Not you.
I swear to God, I love it when you go after Dale. It just makes me laugh every time. All right. Here's Joe Murray with your headlines. He will not go after Dale here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.